Isn't it good to know that Jesus will fix it? And I'm so glad to be assembled with the saints on Super Bowl Sunday night. I mean, I know you're hoping that I would take the admission from Moses to Pharaoh, let my people go. It's just good to see this number who have come and with the intent of worshiping God. Whether or not I think it's because your team didn't make it, but whether or not your team made it, it's just good to be here. I'm still on a spiritual high from this morning message. Oh man, I tell you, that mess you up if you really put your mind to it. And so I'm just glad to be able to say a word of encouragement on tonight. Just a word of encouragement on tonight. I know there's festivities and activities planned for our singles, and I'm pretty sure they would welcome as many of you to be a part of those activities. You can even watch part of the game, and I think am I wrong to invite them over for y'all's food and whatnot? So I plan on coming myself. Well, they have some activities planned. We want to be considerate of that as well. Matthew chapter 27, and we want to look at verses 17 through 22. Matthew 27, 17 through 22. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. I want to look at Pilate's question and lift that as our topic for tonight. What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? I know that you are familiar with this passage of Scripture, even if you are a visitor here, because it is read during the communion time. But this text, Jesus is sentenced to death by the chief priests and elders, and he is brought to Pilate. Judas, who betrayed him into the hands of the Jewish leaders, in his guilt-laden psyche, returns the betrayal money and commits suicide. The chief priests and elders decide to buy the potter's field with that money because it was not lawful for them to put it back in the treasury. And Jesus stands before Pilate to face the accusations of the Jews. And when Jesus is asked, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus said unto them, thou sayest. In other words, and then the chief priests and elders, they kept accusing him of all of these many things, but Jesus, the Bible says, never answered a word. Pilate thought he might be able to appeal to the crowd's conscience by offering them a choice and pointing out that there is a notable prisoner and then this professed king of the Jews. Which one would you rather have? Barabbas, who is one who was well noted, and they in their minds said, refused Jesus and took Barabbas. And Pilate thought maybe they will have a conscience about this. And Pilate's wife sent him a text message, said, have nothing to do with this man. These faithless men, the chief priests and elders, persuaded the people to choose Barabbas, and in unanimous fashion, they chose Barabbas. And then Pilate asked this thought-provoking, penetrating, haunting question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And when Pilate posed that question to the Jews on that day, I believe it is, although he did, I believe it's a question that we have to consider even today. What shall I do with Jesus? Every man, woman, boy, and girl needs to ponder intently, what will I do with Jesus? So tonight we want to look at the responses to this question. When you look at this text, there were many persons who had already answered Pilate's question by their, in a figurative sense, through their actions and behaviors leading up to the events of the cross. And I want to just examine some of the people who answered that question, and then I want to see how will we answer the question of what will we do with Jesus. You remember that the disciples in Matthew 26 and verse number 56, when Jesus was betrayed in the garden and Judas came to him and they kissed him, kissed Jesus, he kissed Jesus. And you remember that as they seized Jesus, Peter took out his sword and cut off one of the arresting officer's ears. And then when Jesus went with them, the Bible says in verse number 56, all this was done, and the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. What did they do with Jesus? They forsook him and left. When the chief priests came to arrest him and the multitude had their staves and swords, Jesus there is abandoned by his disciples. It's amazing that while everything is going well, while everything is fine and dandy, for 3 years they stuck with Jesus, but here he is in the need of individuals to stay with him, and then they forsake him. My question to us is, how many times have we forsaken Jesus? When Jesus says that there will come a time in Matthew 13 and verse number 21, he talked about that parable of the sower and some of the seed that fell by those stony ground and with the thorns. He said, these individuals that receive the seed in stony places, same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receive it, yet he hath not root in himself. But dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, and by he is offended. In other words, sometimes when trouble and tribulation come and squeeze you, you really find out who you are. Just let a bill come that you cannot pay. And then we'll see how dedicated you are as a disciple when it's time for the collection basket to be passed. Are you going to forsake the Lord because you got a bill that you can't? I'm just trying to tell us, I'm asking you, what shall we do with Jesus? These disciples forsook him. Then when you look at Peter, what will you do with Jesus? You are the one who stood up when he asked the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He says, some say thou art Elijah's, and some others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then when Jesus asked, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter was the first one to stand up and say, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. When Jesus needed Peter to say, thou art the Christ, on this occasion, we find that Peter denies the Lord not one time, not two times, but three times. If we were to ask Peter what you would do, Peter said, I can't help but to deny him. Oftentimes, we'll see that we can deny the Lord, even when we know the truth. We know, and we're confronted with the question of his deity. We are confronted with the reality that we are a servant of his, but sometimes in our actions and in our behavior, we deny the Lord. And the first thing that people will say was, I thought you were a Christian. Peter, what will you do with Jesus? Peter denied the Lord. I hope you and I will not deny him. Judas betrayed him. Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas sold the Lord out. But you always notice, whenever you betray someone, the price is always more costly than what you receive. Judas got 30 pieces of silver, but it cost him more because ultimately his betrayal would cost him taking his own life. You ever watch when you betray the Lord, that it always will cost you more than you were wanted to pay? When David slept with Uriah's wife, and Nathan the prophet came to him and told him that parable about the ewe lamb that was taken. And David became so enraged that he said that this individual should pay fourfold. And when Nathan told him, you're the man, you betrayed one of your servants, but more importantly and more paramount is you betrayed the Lord. And because of you did this, the sword will not depart from his home. And do you know that the sentence that he pronounced on the one who took the lamb was his own sentence? He lost the baby that Bathsheba was carrying. He lost his sons, Amnon, Absalom, and Adonijah. Four losses in his family. He repaid the debt. And if you would ask David, was she really worth it? I think David would have another word to say and tell you, you don't want to go that way. And sometimes we are betray the Lord for moments of pleasure end up with a lifetime of pain. Because babies don't go anywhere. And he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. I know he's not the only guilty one. Because we sold the Lord out for text messages and notes that were passed to us and betrayed the Lord. And the chief priests and elders of the people, what they did was with Jesus, they condemned him, crucified him, brought him up on trumped up charges and lied on him and then said that he has committed blasphemy. So they brought him before Pilate, where Pilate had to crucify him. Pilate thought he could appeal to their conscience. Pilate thought that he could take a neutral side. Pilate thought he could wash his hands of Jesus. But it was Pilate who consented to his death. Watch what the Bible says. Pilate knew that they had delivered him because they were envious people. Because they saw that multitudes were following Jesus and they stopped listening to the chief priests and elders. Even when his wife sent him a message to have nothing to do with that man, Pilate thought that he could get a notable prisoner before them rather than just doing the right thing. Let me give him a choice. When they didn't take the choice that Pilate thought they would take, he had to crucify him. Pilate saw, verse number 24 of Matthew 27, he could prevail nothing. Rather, a tumult was made. He took water, washed his hand before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. This is Pilate releasing Barabbas. And when he had scourged Jesus, this is Pilate scourging Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The Jews, while they could bring up the charges, they could not enforce the law. So they had to have a Roman official to enforce their decision. Although Pilate thought he could wash his hands, he could not. He crucified the Lord. And I want you to know that whenever we see God, whenever we are faced with a decision for him, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verses number 4 and 6 that, "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." There are many who will not have the power of Pilate, but they are still crucifying the Lord. Every time someone walks away from the church of Christ and points an antagonistic finger, what they're doing is nothing more than crucifying the Son of God again. They're doing nothing more than putting him up on that cross because they have defamed and defiled the name of Jesus Christ. I get so tired of looking on my Facebook and seeing so-called gospel preachers
so-called gospel preachers antagonistic towards the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. They're doing nothing more than crucifying the Son of God again. They have this mentality that God's church does not mean anything, but I want you to know that it means everything because the precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed for it. What will you do with Jesus? Somebody passed by and they wagged their heads. The soldiers struck him, mocked him, smote him, spat upon him. They humiliated the Lord. And sometimes we got to be careful that what we do does not bring a blemish to the Lord's character, because we represent him everywhere that we go. Chief priests and elders mocked him, made fun of him. They put a crown of thorns on his head and they bowed their knees before him, mocking him because they thought he should not deserve the title of the king. But I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful to God that there were some who followed him. Oh, they followed him from the cross. In Matthew 27 and verse number 55, many women who were beholding afar off, which followed Jesus, from Galilee to ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children, although that there were those who forsook him, there were those who betrayed him, there were those who denied him, those who crucified him and blasphemed him and struck him and spat upon him, there were still some who decided, I'm going to follow Jesus. And I hope tonight that there are those in this number who made a decision that no matter what happens in life, take my job, take my house, whatever it is, but I'm still going to follow Jesus. These women were at the cross of Jesus. And I can only, the only way I can think that they would follow Jesus after all of this is that they had to have a medley of songs on their heart. I believe that if they could tell us about some of the songs they sing, they would tell you that that the reason why we're following him is because he's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. The storm clouds may rise and strong winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I go, I have found a Savior. He's sweet, I know. I believe they had a song, a medley of song, and that's what keeps me following him, because every now and again I start singing to myself, he loved me so. He gave his precious life for me because he loved me so. Sometimes I get to myself and I sing, Jesus, you've been good to me. Ever so good. Oh, Jesus, you have been good to me. And then the song that we sing, Jesus will fix it. Sometimes we got to know that King Jesus will roll all burdens away. And so this, you just keep following him, even if you got a burden on your back. Know that in the midst of bereavement and in the midst of trial, that King Jesus will roll all burdens away. Finally, this Roman centurion, he acknowledged him. Now, there are those who will debate whether or not this man was making a confession of Christ, but the Bible says that when he saw the earthquake, those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this man was the Son of God. They can debate all they want to whether or not he was making a confession, but something about what he saw caused him to recognize that he was different than the two thieves that were by him. Something that he saw when it became dark at noon. He says, something is different about this man. I've done many crucifixions before, but I've never seen the earthquake. I never had the earthquake like that. And then the graves were open. Something different about this man. He's some kind of man. And the question is what you gonna do with Jesus? We gotta all answer that question when you get ready tomorrow for work and you ironing your clothes. Don't just think about what you're wearing. Think about what you're gonna represent tomorrow. What am I gonna do with Jesus? You got a meeting you gotta go into. And sometimes, you know, those meetings don't go like you want them to go. And you got to decide, what am I going to do with Jesus? I'm trying to tell you, you need to follow him. You need to follow him no matter what it costs. No matter what you got to give up. No matter what you have to sacrifice. Decide that I'm going to follow Jesus because of all of the good things that he has done for me. I think somebody, even though it's Super Bowl Sunday, needs to make a decision. Needs to make a decision to follow Jesus. Because what you get when you follow Jesus, you get benefits for yourself. Did you not hear Jesus say, if you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me, then I will deny you. Jesus is saying that if you follow me, then I have your back. You don't have to worry about what those who think they have power will do. All you got to have me, and you are in the majority. Amen. Tonight, I know you want to get to your Super Bowl, eat your chicken wings, and but I believe there's somebody who needs to decide to follow Jesus. Someone who has not made that decision, who is not a child of God. Let this be your Super Sunday. The day you decided that I'm coming out of the kingdom of darkness and I'm being translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Make tonight your night that you will decide to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You have to make, when you make that decision, understand that you are coming to him by faith. You are coming to him trusting that what he did at Calvary, his sacrifice at Calvary, was for you and for your sins. And then once you have put your faith in that, then you have to make a decision in your mind that I'm going to repent. I'm changing my life. Based upon what Christ has done for me, I'm going to follow him fully and completely. Make the great confession. Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. When Jesus made that, they accused him and condemned him for blasphemy because he made himself God. They did not realize that what they were dealing with was the God-man. And the God-man came down that you and I might have eternal life. So when you confess that name, you're acknowledging the greatest name that ever can be uttered on mortal tongue. Then be baptized for the remission of sin, where God makes you new again. Gives you his spirit to guide and direct your steps, and then you follow him. Some people may question your decision, but you keep on following him. Some people may ridicule you for your decision, but you keep on following him. If he can take the spit, if he can take the slaps, if he can take the mocking, surely we can take some ridicule for deciding to follow Jesus. If you're here, you're a child of God and you've gotten off the path. God always is so good that he gives us the road map to get back on the right path. so that we can follow him. Won't you make a confession if you need to do that, if you need the prayers of the church? Won't you come as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.